Hello and welcome to another episode of the Laura Sanzo podcast with your host, Laura Sanzo. Everyone's perception of the world is different based on their model of the world, and her goal is to celebrate that by building the most inclusive self-development podcast. Laura and her guests share their stories and share invaluable strategies from the world of science, spirituality, business, health, personal relationships, and everything in between. We cover it all. Get inspired, learn to welcome adversity, understand the failures only feedback, and get ready to hear discussion on some of the most important issues facing us today. Enjoy the episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Laura Sanzo podcast. In this episode, we're looking at the world through the eyes of Coach Kamshuka, who is a wellness coach that helps you elevate, empower, and awaken your internal warrior. She's also a speaker, author, podcaster, and most importantly, a mom. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I cannot wait to have this conversation. Thank you so much.
I am honestly so excited for you to be here for so many reasons, but you're such a couple of things that I really love about you that I want to like point out before we get started in conversation. You're already blushing. But you're such a powerhouse, but you have such a delicate nature about you. And I love that because I feel sometimes with women, they feel for them to come across powerful, they need to really exercise a lot of masculine energy. And for anybody that doesn't follow you and will follow you after listening to, they'll see how you're so powerful. You have such a, like I said, such a delicate, beautiful energy about you. And I love that about you and that you really exhibit that. And also another thing is that, you know, women empowering women is so important. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, there's some women when you see them and you watch them, they just inspire you to want to be more and do more. And you're that for me. So I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So we have an upcoming masterclass that I want to talk about a little bit later, but I want to talk about the one that you just had where you're showing people how to go from victim to warrior. So I wanted to ask if you could take us back to a little bit into your past, because I know you survived things like civil war and sexual abuse. I wanted to just, if you could take us back to that, but also where that shift kind of happened for you, where you went from that victim kind of mentality to warrior and survivor mentality.
Absolutely. It is something that I live by. It is a daily walk for myself. And because I am in process of healing and I have healed from so many different things, it's only important for me enough to share that with others. And that is exactly why I developed the masterclasses Victim to Warrior, because sometimes, you know, as you know, life happens. So much happens at one time and we get stuck in just doing the routine. And sometimes we don't even realize we are playing the victim of our own story, even when we are not, you know, and it's just that mentality. I am a war child survivor of the Ugandan Civil War. I was just a child during that time frame and being born to a Ugandan father and an Anglo-Indian mother. You're in between a lot of different places. And so I was the child that it was myself and my brother and my dad, and we were in Uganda during those horrible days during the Civil War, where we basically had to hide in the little washroom. And my dad had barricaded the walls with like the bed, you know, the mattress, just so the bullets wouldn't come through. And just finding ways to keep us safe during those times. You know, the lockdowns we've been going through almost kind of bring me back, because we had curfews, you know. When it's war, you can't leave your house at certain times. You cannot go outside. So whatever you have in your house is what you have. And just prior to that, those horrible days, actually, it was 3 days and three nights we were in this little washroom. I write about it in Becoming Warrior, because it is important that I remember the story and the journey. Becoming warrior for me means, you know, all the things that lead you up to this moment. And for me, it started in that little washroom where we were hiding from the soldiers and the military. And my dad just trying the hardest to keep us quiet. You know, my brother was 2 years old and I was four. And I had questions, you know, what's going to happen? Are we going to die? And I'm asking him these questions. And during that time, my mom wasn't in the country. She actually was able to leave because she was in Ugandan. So the idea was to save us, you know, to bring us out, to reunite with us. But here we are in the middle of war, and all I'm hearing is screaming and gunshots and just the soldiers, you know, the laughter, just so many emotions. And one of the moments that has really brought me to this stage in my life is the question I asked my dad, are we going to die? And he's, you know, saying to me, just close your eyes and think of yourself when you get older. You know, imagine yourself when you get older, what you want to do. So picture yourself as a big girl, you know, like you're older. He was really trying to just distract me. But what he was really teaching me was to visualize my future, you know, showing me that in that moment, yes, I'm hearing the screaming. Yes, there's people dying. So much is happening outside of that little room. But for me, he was teaching me to do that. And I did. I closed my eyes. And as a little girl, I thought about, I want a world of peace. I mean, it's only fitting. I'm in the middle of war. I want peace and I want love. I want to see my mom again. And of all things, I want to be that person that brings love and joy and laughter. You know, that's what I thought of. I really imagined myself older and bringing that type of sensation to this world. And that is a heavy burden to carry as a child. But after 3 days and three nights, we heard nothing. And my dad said it was safe to come out of that room. And I remember coming outside the little washroom. And when I returned to Uganda years later, I went to that room and I saw myself as a little girl, just looking out the window. And I remember as a child looking out the window and just seeing, you know, the dust and seeing dead bodies. And it was quiet and it was horrible. And that was where my journey began. You know, all through life from there, the journey just continued because, you know, it's never really about the destination, right? It's about what happens along the way. And as, you know, after that time frame, we are trying to reunite with my mother, and we were separated for 3 years from her and we in India. And then there's, you know, whole other life there. So we're not, you know, we're not from there, but we're there. So there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of, you know, sexual abuse, there's verbal abuse. We're just being treated as children. We're being treated very unfairly. And when I think about life, I think about how we reunited, you know, with my mother when I was 7, 8 years old, and it wasn't over, you know, like now you have to work through the thoughts, you know, now I have to work through the sounds I heard. So this is a lifelong journey. And every time I felt like I was getting somewhere, I was just being pulled back, you know. So as a teenager, I was very suicidal. I just really didn't want to be here because what I realized was the war that I had gone through, the abuse, you know, just being left with family members I don't know, I've never heard of. All those things were still with me. So the biggest war now I had was in my mind. Yeah. And, you know, even though I'm not in a physical war anymore, I still had this war right here. So I stayed the victim of my story. I stayed the victim of my story till I decided one day I didn't want to be the victim. Because all along I was blaming everybody else. You know, I'm blaming my parents. I'm blaming the war. I'm blaming the people who abused me. I'm blaming everyone. And mostly a lot of those people can't even say they're sorry. They're not even here. So I had to learn how to accept an apology that I never was given. I had to learn that from within me, the chaos that consumed me, I had to learn that that chaos would have to, I had to find a way to get it out, you know? And all along, it was just noisy in my mind. And if I can say anything, it is not in the noise that I came through as a warrior. It is in the calmness of understanding my soul, my purpose, understanding what the rise looks like for me. And so when people ask me what my superpower is, it really is being calm. So you mentioned that, you know, I have a gentle spirit to myself. I wasn't always like this, you know, because of where you come from. Sometimes you can embody and be the chaos. And I remember times in my life, even as an adult, that I was just chaotic. And I had to learn that it is in the quiet time. It is in the isolation, as much as I don't want to face my darkness, it is in those moments that there is the greatest power. So now, if you ask me, I am the warrior in my story. I have refused to be the victim. And it's only fitting to tell others that they don't have to stay as the victim.
Did you ever have a conversation with your dad and let him know how much like those moments impacted you?
I tried to. He passed away 13 years ago, but before he did, we had many conversations about that little room. And for him, it was a very hard conversation because he was going through a lot more as an adult. You know, I think what had happened, or what happens sometimes to the generation before my generation, is that they didn't talk about certain things. You know, yes, we went through stuff, they went through it, but it was like a code of silence. So I am here now, and I'm still this way today where I ask a lot of questions. So I'm here trying to get it out of him, you know, and this is actually when I started journaling, because I wanted to talk to him, and he wouldn't really, he was giving me limited answers, you know, he didn't want to have that conversation, just like others in my story. And so I started journaling and writing down the pain, writing down what happened. And I remember the year before he passed away, I had put this journal, this little book together. And I said, I want him to read it. You know, I wanted him to read my version of our story, you know, because I know he, being my dad, had more things he had gone through, even during that Civil War time. So much he had to do that he didn't want to do, and so much that had happened. So I wanted him to read my version, and he read it. And I remember when I left it with him, it took him a couple of weeks. And I remember when I went to kind of pick up my book, and he said, you know, what a life, like, you know, and we just hugged. And he was a very gentle spirit himself, but it was always like bottled within himself too. And I'm here trying to bring up all these things. So we had conversations. Sometimes they were silent conversations where we just knew how it all went down. And it was not the easiest. It isn't the easiest thing to talk about. It's taken me years to be able to have conversation about it and to be in a position of healing, you know, where they don't all come up. I've worked through the PTSD, I worked through the depression of it all. And I think that now it's like, we have to start talking, right? We have to start sharing. We have to share what it is. And there is healing when we communicate. That is how we break those chains.
Leading by example for our children as well, and showing them that it's okay. Talk to us if you can about the Conscious Warrior, because you have built such an incredible brand. So I want to make sure everybody knows about the Conscious Warrior. And I love, because this is my background as well, but like the mind, body, and spirit connection. And I love how you embody that.
Thank you. Absolutely. This is the part where, you know, I am going through the healing. I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I have 4 kids myself. So they're in different age groups. I have 2 teenagers and then I have 2 littles. And so when I think of how I was raising my teenagers when they were little, I was doing so much wrong. You know, I was messing up all the time because I had my own flashback. I had my own stuff that was coming to me when I was a child. And, you know, I was not giving them the childhood they deserve because I was still healing. I was still working through my stuff. And when I started to think about how I want to provide a childhood and a space for my children to communicate as well with me and to be able to be free with their conversation, it was important to me because I didn't get that. You know, A lot of my emotions were suppressed. I couldn't share them. It was just a horrible time where, you know, adults, they didn't live in this realm of consciousness. So nobody's thinking about, you know, well, I'm damaging their childhood, or I'm doing, you know, I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't be negative. No one's thinking about that. And so it was just like a consuming time. And I decided that I wanted to be different, because that is how you break the cycle, you know, to break the cycle and to move in a different direction is extremely important for me. To come through is one thing, but to come through healed and then heal a generation as you're healing is very important. And so I wanted to be very conscious of how I parent. I wanted to be conscious with how I took care of my body, you know, and I was doing that because as you heal sometimes because of the past things, you're not realizing you're sick, or you're, you know, your body is not together. And if your body is not right, your spirit can't be together, your emotional health, all these things are connected. And so as I worked on myself, I saw the healing in my children. I started to see how they were making it an important task to be mindful, how they were, you know, communicating more. So every time I healed myself, my children healed. Okay. Every time I healed myself, the community healed. Every time I healed myself, my spouse was also healing, because we are now breaking cycles. We are changing patterns. And it was very important within my household, you know, from the littlest thing as including plants in my house, to bringing a singing bowl in, to dedicating meditation and prayer time, to putting workout time in there, you know, the littlest thing, because you're right. We lead by example, you know, and I would not want my children to get to a place where they're, you know, in their adulthood and they're looking back and saying, yes, my mom went through things, and making excuses for why I am the way I am. You know, I want us to all collectively heal. And so this is exactly why I decided to birth Conscious Warriors. It's because I wanted the community. I wanted people all over the place, you know, young people, adults, women, men, to find a place where they can consciously decide, what is it that I need in my wellness toolbox? Because what you needed yesterday was good for yesterday. Today, we need something else. So what do we need? You know, it's like I say to my kids sometimes when they're, or even the teenagers, you know, they're just venting and they don't need a solution for me. I'm sure they don't. They just want to run their mouth. And sometimes I say, you know, do you need to take a nap? Do you need to take a nap today? Like, do you need a hug? Are you hungry? You know, like little things that you're not thinking about when you're upset. Sometimes you just need a nap. You know, close your eyes, rest your body. It's little things like that. And the Conscious Warriors are all about the things that we need to stay mindful of, you know. So we're not hustling anymore in a way where it is burning us out. We're not parenting anymore in a way where we're giving our children everything and we're still lacking. You know, we're still lacking in compassion and love. We're not doing things to the extreme to overcompensate. We're not doing things to be validated. We are not doing things to be approved. We are just being who we are and giving ourselves enough space to heal throughout our day, because it really is a day at a time. So today, what is it that you need? You know, is it that you need, do you need, you know, to take a walk by the rocks, by the lake? What is it that your body, your spirit, your emotional, what do you need? And that's where the Conscious Warriors were birthed from, because it's that question you ask yourself, you know, what do I need today?
And it sounds so simple, but it really is like the most powerful question you can ask yourself, because, you know, most adults, and it's so amazing that, you know, you're teaching your children for them from when they grow, but like most adults even are not living consciously or in awareness, and they're just kind of in this robotic state. And so, you know, when something manifests for them in the physical world, they're like, where did this even come from? I didn't even feel stressed, because they're just in that chronic state.
That's so true. Because everything is spiritual, and everything is, you know, what you manifest, what you call for, what you ask for, what you speak will be manifested. So it's always a good moment to stop and say, like you said, how did this get here? You know, how did this happen? We're not doing life like the generation before us.
Yes.
We're trying to do it better. You know, we're not trying to find out when we're 70 or 80 that this was what was happening with my body and I had no idea. We're not doing that anymore. We have to do life differently.
You work a lot with youth, which is amazing work. Really young females, which is even more in itself powerful. Why is this important to you?
Oh, this is the question that gives me goosebumps, because my entire life will not mean anything to me if I cannot leave behind a legacy or leave behind something that's of worth. Because although, you know, I grew up the way I did, I didn't have a relationship with my mother the way I probably imagined I would. You know, there was so much stuff she was also going through. And it ended up being a very toxic relationship into my teenage years and in my adult years now. And so this is something that I lacked as a mother or a mentor. I didn't have someone who guided me through even my menstrual cycle, you know, like even just the first stages. I didn't have someone who walked me through the things that should have been important. And so, you know, I have two daughters, and my daughter's 16 and I have a 7-year-old. And these are some, you know, every year that they celebrate is so important to me, because of course it reminds me of me, but it reminds me of how I can't just sit here and talk about what didn't happen for me, how I didn't get it's true. I am past that stage. What can I impart now? What can I leave behind? You know? And so as I practice this in my household with my children, it is important that in the community, you know, in this world, like regardless of where I'm speaking, you know, sometimes, if I'm speaking in Uganda and I'm there with these young women, I can see it in their face. You know, they have so much potential, so much dreams. And at the same time, they're feeling so defeated. You know, they're looking at me like I have the answers. And at the same time, they're looking at me like, well, but look at you now, you know? And so it's like, I have to go through the story with them and show them that it's not here that it ends. You know, your journey, it looks and feels awkward and horrible and like the worst things are happening to you, and maybe they are, but it is not ending here. This is just the middle of your journey, and you get to take charge of your life. When you decide who you want to be and how you want to live this life, you get to choose yourself. You don't have to wait for someone to come and save you. You don't have to wait for someone to choose you. We are going to take our lives back. And it has to start with the little things. So when I speak to young women, when I speak to anywhere I am, it is with the love. I don't know what it is. I just feel like they're all my children, you know, and I want to embrace them. But embracing them is not enough if I don't give them the tools. If I know they need to be successful, if I know they want to succeed in any which way in their lives, in their emotions, you know, even in their mental health, then I need to give them the tools. So when I go out there and I speak to these young women and these young girls, it is more important to me to leave them with something that is of value, something that they can take and multiply and go create, you know, because when you receive something that you were never given, even if it's an idea, you know, your will and determination has the ability to manifest that and even more. So I am just really, I just take them as my children. They're all my kids. And regardless of how old they are, you know, even the little kids, when I speak in elementary schools, and I'm just there to impart. I want them to remember something I said or something I told them they could do. It's like a seed, you know, when you plant a seed, it's going to grow. Something will come from it. And I don't even know what you asked me, but I'm so passionate about talking to young women. So it gets me excited.
And I love, the original question was, why is it important for you to mentor younger children or to speak to younger children? And I love how you say that you didn't have like the traditional relationship that a lot of girls have with their mothers, but you still have such a strong motherly presence, which is so powerful. So I'm going to assume that you've had other strong women role models in your life.
Absolutely. You know, because sometimes when you wait on that one person to give you all of that, and you've experienced rejection and abandonment, sometimes you gravitate towards other people's moms, you know, or other women that you start to look up to. And for me, it was just like that. You know, I started to notice that, you know, here I am, you know, worried about what I don't have. But then there are these other women, you know, they are strong. And I understand sometimes with your feminine energy, it can be very extreme, you know, so you can have like strong and no emotion to go with it. Or you can, and I've taken from all those different women. I remember when I went back to Uganda the very first time and I walked through the journey, you know, of where I was as a child. And some of my aunts came to meet me and they're talking and they're telling me these things and I'm seeing myself and I'm seeing a lot of similarities. I just took from each woman, you know, I realized women in general are strong. You know, we are so resilient. Sometimes our weakness, even in our weakness, we are so strong. You know, of course I want to show my children power and they see me as Wonder Woman. So I don't have to worry too much about that. They see that in me, but that's it is important that I'm I don't have to worry about that too much. But it's important that they see a balance, you know. Strength is not always found in just the muscle, you know. I love to work on my muscles and my core and build my strength. But sometimes strength is just in a hug. You know, strength is in, you know, someone just saying, I know it's crazy right now. I know it's hard. I know you may not understand, but you're going to get through. You know, sometimes strength, and that is where I learned. It wasn't something that was easy to learn, to be gentle when you're not coming from a gentle place. Yeah. You know, when you're growing up with rough people, you're not, it's hard, but it's something that I learned. And I realized there's so much power in that. And so now when I'm able to impart and I'm able to motivate and mentor women, it's a beautiful thing because it feels full circle for me, you know?
And that's really something I love about you is that you have a huge brand and community. So technically, you don't really need to be as supportive as you are to other women, really. You know what I mean? Essentially, but you are. Like you communicate with your community. You know what I mean? You had just said this before we start recording that you want to be how you are in person as you are on social media, and you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's important to me. No, it's so important because I never dreamed of being, you know, well-known, or it's not something that was important. When I think about the promise I made myself as a little girl, you know, in that room during the Civil War, it is the extended hands. It is the love and the compassion and to be a part of the healing of this world. That was the purpose, you know, that was the passion. And so it is a natural thing for me and it's not something I could really hide away or put away. And I, you know, we all need each other. So it's kind of crazy that there are people that think that way, but I need you as much as you need me. And that is how we get this right, you know, and that's the number one thing to me right now, that we need each other.
Definitely. You just celebrated a birthday this past summer. So happy birthday. So I think I'm a year older than you, but both in our early 40s. And I always, every time I'm speaking to somebody that's younger, about to go into her 30s, I say, buckle up, because 30s is such an incredible decade for women. I'm not sure if we had this conversation prior. I loved my 30s. I'm going to assume you loved yours through as well, because you're always glowing. What were some of the lessons do you think that were your favorite from your 30s?
Wow. I don't know. This decade is crazy, right? Because in my 30s, yeah, I think I took a beating, like, personally, you know, because I had so much that I thought I was good on and I wasn't. And it was like, here I am thinking I'm okay. I'm good. Yeah. You know, I've arrived. And I hadn't. And so when I even talk about communication wise, you know, just even communication with my husband, it was like, whoa, I just got schooled. Yeah. You know, like, here I am thinking I figured it all out. I'm good. You know, I'm not doing what, you know, the people before me did. I'm doing it completely different, but I'm also still doing it incorrectly, because there's a lot of accepting your parts in the roles we play. And yeah. So in my 30s, I feel like I got a hand on certain things, but there was so much growth that was still needed. And those are the moments where I think, if I could say, you know, when you face your darkness and you're kind of like, whoa, shocked by it, or shocked to the extent of who you could be, and it's not pause, and it's not a good thing, you know, it's learning how to balance that power. That's what it was. Because I knew that I was powerful. I knew the power within me. I have the ability to speak and things will happen. I have the ability to even know stuff before it happens. I'm very intuitive in that way. But it is understanding how to use this power as strength and not defeat, you know, understanding to balance this gift that I have. And so that's what the 30s were for me.
I love that. And I guess now in your 40s, we're seeing the byproduct of that in this calm, beautiful nature.
Yeah.
So you have another master class coming up on October 13th on forgiveness, boundaries, and blocking. Why is that important for you, those lessons to share?
Oh, because I feel like they are, you know, those three together are the reason sometimes we stay the victim of our story.
Yeah.
You know, because there's maybe a lot of people you need to forgive, or even maybe there's a lot of people that you need to forget, you know? And so it's like, how do I, you know, do I make a list? You know, how do I get through this? So how do I work through forgiving someone and keeping them at a distance, you know, creating that boundary? How do I protect my peace? How do I protect my sanity? How do I protect my mental health? How do I protect my family? You know, so we don't go through this again, and I'm not opening doors for us to have a repeat like already before. So, and then blocking, you know, yes, you know, like we're thinking sometimes, or someone is thinking, what a horrible thing to do to block someone. But at the same time, maybe it's the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself. You know, there are a lot of things that are coming to you, and there are a lot of things that are for you. You cannot gain access to any of that if you don't come into alignment. And if you don't position yourself to manifest those desires, then you're just going in circles. You know, you're like that hamster. And when it comes to forgiveness and, you know, building boundaries, we're going to be going in circles if we don't put a hold on it and make some harsh decision, you know, forgiving yourself. You know, a lot of us are walking with the things and the burnout of how we think of ourselves, because we haven't fully let go of that. And I know letting go is not the easiest thing in any case, but we have to think of it as a life or death thing. And that is how I choose to see it. I am extreme when it comes to this, because I face death. It's extreme, an extreme way, but it's important, because life and death, if I choose to forgive or don't choose to forgive, this could affect me with my life decisions. This could affect my health. This could affect what is coming to me. I'm blocking my blessings when I really need to be blocking some people. I'm not here for that. You know, we got to do it differently. So this masterclass is all about forgiveness, how to create those boundaries. You know, for some people, maybe you need to block some time in your day where you don't take calls. Maybe you just need to block some hours where, or block a day where you don't speak to family members, you know, and tell them. You know, I did this thing a couple of years ago where I said to my family, my siblings, I said, I love you guys, but in this season that I am in, I need you to release me from all those expectations you have of me, because I am working through some stuff and I don't want to come across rude. So I'm telling you right now that I am unavailable to you in this season. I will let you know how things change. But right now, you know, and so that was a kind way of blocking, right? But sometimes people don't want to let you do that. And you have to take some things into your own hands. So that's what this masterclass is going to be all about.
I love that. I'm kind of a sergeant like that with my energy as well. It's so important. Like, to live a fulfilled life, like, you have to be. There's no way you can be spreading your energy to everyone and still have enough for yourself.
Exactly. And we need some for ourselves.
Definitely. So we talked about becoming warrior. Tell us a little bit about the upgrade.
So the upgrade, this is the book that I wrote. This is the ebook that I wrote as I turned 40. So this is when I decided, I knew this all along, but it was more of a stern realization where I was scolding myself. And I said, okay, I know you're trying to, for example, you're trying to be kind, you know, so you're saying things very gently and you're being really calm here, but this needs some firmness here. You know, so the upgrade was really just me getting to a place where I've gone through certain things, you know, I've done certain things, and now I'm ready to move into a different direction. And now I'm ready to upgrade my own upgrade. So I'm not waiting for approvals anymore. You know, I'm approving myself. I'm not sitting here and walling over rejection letters and things like that. I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm seeing it as, thank you, you just saved me. I'm good that didn't work out. Now I'm just being really stern with myself and allowing myself to rise up into the goddess that I always was. But I was just, you know, playing it calm and softly because I didn't want people to feel like I was overpowering. So it is taking that same power and still understanding it, but also using it when you need to, because we cannot keep living life the way we've been living, in a way where we're allowing ourselves to feel small or be small to fit into somebody's, you know. So you have certain people who won't celebrate you. And so when we're around them, we're not sharing those accomplishments. We're not talking about certain things because we don't want to hurt their feelings. But you came into my presence, and my presence is large. So you're going to get all of me. You came here. This is who I am. I'm dynamite. And I'm going to share. And I'm going through these wonderful experiences. I'm on a different realm. I'm in a different dimension. And I'm going to allow myself to be there because this is where my breakthrough happened. So if this is not for you, that's okay. But by saying that, I'm allowing myself to align with those that are just like me. So here we are now. We are the upgrade.
The words that are screaming in my head right now is 5D goddess.
There you go.
Like, I can just like exactly those words in like fluorescent right now.
Thank you. Oh, it is exactly. It's just like, you know, once you go through stuff and you come through and you're healing, we're not always going to be in the struggle. You know, there is a time when the struggle it's over because you said it's over. Yeah. You know, it might not be over for everybody else, but there's a time when you just put your foot down and you are taking charge. You know, whatever you want, you are manifesting it. You're going after it. You don't even have to kick doors open. We're not doing that anymore. We're being in alignment and allowing these things to come and be attracted to us. And it's working out so smoothly that there's no struggle.
Can you imagine if everybody did the same work and were as conscious and, you know, would be vulnerable enough to do that healing work, how different the world would be today.
Exactly. Because all it takes is for you to sit with yourself, right? Like go into that dark room, do that shadow work. It's not pleasant. And that's what these master classes are, right? So I know that there are some people who are not ready for it. That's okay. They're not ready for it. And I know some people are ready to face themselves. And so they come to face themselves. Because if you're going to come talk to me or be in my presence, we're going to deal with what's real. You know, we want to be elevated. We want to rise, but we cannot see the light if we can't go through the darkness and face it and, you know, and embody it. And once you've done that work, then yes, when I stand on the mountaintop and I am celebrating where I am, it is worth it because I know what I did down in the valley. You know, I'm here now.
As we're coming to an end, is there anything that you're being called intuitively to share that we may not have touched on with the audience?
You know, nothing that comes to my mind other than I know that it's such a strange time in life. You know, so much, even though we have plans and we are coming to a place where, you know, we're sort of seeing some type of normalcy, at the same time, there's so much anxiety rising in people because there's so much decisions they have to make still. And I'm just feeling that, and I know that within myself, I have the ability to put it all down and be weak and to cry and not know which way to go. You know, sometimes you just see darkness and you don't know which way to go. And I just want to say that, you know, I understand those times, but those times also lead you to where it is you really need to be. And I don't think people understand what is inside of them. You know, I said this before and I'll say it again. There's so much inside of you than there is outside of you. So if we can just tap into who we are, you know, spend that time with ourselves intentionally and love and share that compassion we have for ourselves, then we can really bring forth, we can really birth the things that we desire. And this is exactly what I'm going to be working on myself and what I'm going to be, you know, after these master classes. The next master class I'm working on, the next date, that is something I'm going to be talking about. And just really getting people to understand that I know it's different. It's a different time. But everything you need is literally inside of you. And for us to tap into that, we have to get through some of the stuff within ourselves. But it's there. And so don't look around and think, you know, well, they're already doing this. These people already, you know, they don't need me because there's a bunch of people doing, you know, the same thing. It's never going to be the same. Because where you come from, the journey you walk from, who you are, is a whole different thing. So don't ever look around and say, I can't do it because everyone's doing the same thing. Just allow yourself to tap into your greatness. Somebody needs it. And that is somebody's breakthrough when you allow yourself to tap into your greatness. So don't hold yourself back.
I love that. That's such a beautiful message. Thank you. What can we expect from you for the rest of the year? I know you mentioned there's a couple masterclasses coming.
I'm going to have another masterclass in November. And then November's masterclass is really just all about getting ourselves ready for the next season and, you know, not just seeing it as, okay, January 1st, here's our new season, but really preparing ourselves. Because when I think of preparation, I think of, you know, how it takes 9 months to have a baby. I think of 9 months of preparation. So, you know, in this season, I'm going to be talking a lot more about, you know, if doors are closing on you or you're not feeling like you're getting where you need to get, you know, understand that you're in preparation time and this is the greatest time you can ever be in. Just before, you know, that greatness comes through or you understand your calling or you understand your, you know, what your purpose is, you need to go through this stage of preparation. So myself included, I will be, you know, after the master classes, I'll be going into my time of preparation where, you know, it's just not for myself because when I said, you know, when I'm healed, when I am well, my family is well, my children are well, the community is well. So what we're doing is greater than ourselves. And that's what my focus is going to be as we get into the fall and the winter.
Can you believe we're in fall almost? It's crazy.
I think today they have the pumpkin spice at Starbucks.
I said that to my daughter this morning.
I don't understand why it has to be today because we're still in summer, but I'm not, I don't know.
I swear I said that to my daughter this morning because she's 13. So, you know, 13-year-olds love their Starbucks run. And so I said, do you know that they have the new pumpkin spice out? And she's like, but it's not even fall yet.
Yeah, so I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what they're trying to rush, but yes.
So we'll put it into the show notes, of course, but just let everybody know where they can find you on all the platforms and your website.
Absolutely. So you can find me on the website, theconsciouswarriors.com. You can also find me on my podcast, The Wellness Toolbox. And really, if you put in Coach Camp Shuka into Google or just Camp Shuka, you'll find me. I can be fun for sure, but I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere you need to find me. I'm there. Just look for Camp Shuka, KAMSHUKA. And I'd love to connect. And honestly, I always have something coming up and some things are within me that are not come forth from myself yet. And when it comes to me, when it gets there, you know, then I could share them. So I'd love to stay connected for sure.
Thank you so much. This was such a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful for your time and your presence and your light. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed that episode of the Laura Sanso podcast. Thank you to our guests. To stay connected to host Laura Sanso, follow her at I Am Laura Sanso or at the Laura Sanso podcast on Instagram. To learn more about Laura, go to www.laurasanso.com.